Well, many people, millions of people around the world are wondering what exactly all of the developments over the past week mean for the people of Egypt, maybe for the people of the entire surrounding Arab region, and many of our listeners had a question about another country.
I called about Israel, which is in the middle of these three countries, and I worry so much about it. Now it's surrounded by these revolutions, also in Jordan, so I'm very much concerned about Israel.
That's one take of the listener who called us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. He was not the only one who called us asking about what this means for Israel. Obviously, Egypt has been one of Israel's strongest allies since they signed the 1978 Camp David Accords and then the 79 Egypt-Israel peace treaty. Israel and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu have obviously been paying close attention to what's happening in Egypt. Here's Netanyahu's comment.
We are all following with vigilance, with worry and hope, that indeed the peace will be preserved. Stability and security are important. They are intertwined.
And we are luckily caught up with Ethan Bronner, a Jerusalem bureau chief for our partner, the New York Times, as he's traveling in Jordan. Good morning, Ethan.
Good morning. How are you, Slash?
I'm doing well, thanks. I mean, we have already seen Netanyahu and Israel responding to the crisis in Egypt in, I guess, some surprising ways. Netanyahu has said he's decided to allow the Egyptian army to send two battalions into Sharm el-Sheikh. That's one of the demilitarized zones of the Sinai Peninsula. Is there any other signs that Israel will change policy because of what's gone on in Egypt?
Well, I don't think the signs are of a big change of policy. You're right about the troops being allowed in, but if the choice is between chaos and the Sinai and not, obviously they're going to allow for that breaching of their treaty with Egypt for that. I think that what's really happening is that the hawkish government of Benjamin Netanyahu is entrenching its sense of the need to focus largely on security for Israel and less on cutting a deal and making concessions to the Palestinians. The feeling they have is that if Egypt can go, well, you know, everything is at risk, and we need to preserve what we have and not start giving away land and security positions. But of course, there's a school of thought in Israel which says the opposite. This is the moment to seize the opportunity with the Palestinians, but it's not the predominant view.
Well, is that a sign that Israel will go back to the strategic situation it had before the 1979 peace agreement, maybe prepare for conflict to the south?
I think that would be kind of a worst-case scenario from Israel's perspective, but I would say the people at the top of the government are very concerned that ultimately, even if there is a moderate put in charge in Egypt, that ultimately the force behind the new ruling power in Egypt will be the Muslim Brotherhood. I'm not saying whether they're right or wrong, but that's the strong concern that they have because they're the best organized political force in Egypt, and that organization would mean that Israel could not count on no war to the south, which it's counted on for 30 years.
Interesting. Joining us also is Barak Ravid, diplomatic correspondent for the newspaper Haaretz in Israel. Barak, let's focus on perhaps the more the street. We've seen the impact of Al Jazeera on mobilizing demonstrators in these Arab countries. Is Jazeera likely to have influence among Palestinians to change sort of the sense of stability inside Gaza and in the occupied West Bank and mobilize political change in some way?
Well, you know, I think that this is one of the main threats that the Israeli government is thinking about these days, because the big threat is not that Al Jazeera will mobilize the Palestinians against President Abbas or the Palestinian government in the West Bank. The big threat is that you know, many Palestinians will watch what's going on in Tunisia, in Jordan, in Egypt, and will say, well, you know, we had it with this occupation. Let's just go on peaceful demonstrations and ask for our right for an independent state. And I don't even want to imagine such a scenario that one morning we will wake up and we will find, I don't know, 10,000-20,000 Palestinians just marching from Ramallah to Jerusalem demanding an independent state. I don't think that Israel really has any answer to such kind of a demonstration.
Well, you know, Barak, one of the big dangers, according to the Israeli government anyway, is allowing the Muslim Brotherhood to take over the lead in Egypt. They've described that as their nightmare situation, and a couple officials have even said that might return them to Iran of 1979 when Iran, who was Israel's key ally in the region, overnight became their biggest enemy.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not official. The prime minister himself said that in a press conference with that German Chancellor Angela Merkel the other day. And I think that it's not that only the Israeli government is concerned. There's a real sense of anxiety from what's going on in Egypt, and especially from the current policy that the U.S. administration is taking on this whole situation. Because I think that many in the Israeli government, and I wouldn't exclude the prime minister himself, don't really understand what the administration wants to achieve. Yesterday night, President Mubarak gave a speech, said he's not going to run again for presidency. And then, you know, everyone in Israel thought, well, okay, the Americans got what they want, the demonstrators got what they want, now we can start to stabilize the situation. But no, then half an hour later, President Obama goes on air saying, no, I want you to step down now. So for many Israelis, and especially in the government, there's a real sense of anxiety from what the U.S. administration is doing these days.
That is Barak Ravid, diplomatic correspondent for Haaretz newspaper in Tel Aviv, Israel. Ethan Brunner, a Jerusalem bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times, traveling in Jordan. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
You know, one of the interesting things there is how can Israel really criticize Arab governments for allowing the influence of Islamist forces when religious parties are so prevalent inside Israel? It's a very difficult case to make.
Well, Netanyahu has an option to either bunker down behind the barricades or sign new peace accords, I think.
Very interesting.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.